if you're trying to compete at the highest level, whether you're an athlete, a coach, an entrepreneur, it's important that you hire the best coaches. And not just one coach, you need to hire a cajillion coaches. In today's episode, I got here with me in the Coaches Podcast, a good friend of mine, has been a business for 13 years in the boutique interior design firm. Hopefully I said that right.
Yeah.
Right? Co-founded a rescue, so you're in this NPO spot as well, which I think is beautiful. Right, you're a mother of one. I think you're an amazing mother, by the way.
Aww.
That's on a side note. And also a good friend. I'd love to call you a good friend now. I think we've kind of, hopefully you're like, no, you're not my friend. Forget it.
You've been to my house, so you're my friend.
Okay, perfect. So just to be pretty transparent, like I was like sprucing up the place a little bit because you're like this interior design firm. I was like, I got to make sure I got the green in here. I got to clean it up a little bit. Crystal's going to be coming in. I got to make sure it looks all right. So hopefully it's okay. So welcome, Crystal. I'm excited. Crystal Solace, I think in one of the episodes, I didn't even tell a person's name, but this is Crystal.
Oh my gosh. Hi.
Yeah.
So I'm like all like flustered and shy.
Yeah. But it's okay. But yeah. I want to go right into the topic if that's okay.
Yes. Okay.
So you're in this space of your your career where you've been hiring coaches. And I think I'm in the same space as you are. I have more than like three coaches at a time sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been extremely impactful in a whole ton of ways. Initially, at first, I was like, okay, I need to make money. And then it's opened up these different areas of my life where I didn't even know existed. And I think there's a lot of coaches that are trying to impact a lot of people, but what they neglect to do is hire other coaches.
Correct.
Which is sad to me because I used to be me. And I thought I was making an impact until I started hiring other coaches. So I want to unpack that. Like, how has it been impactful for you in terms of hiring coaches?
So I've hired nutritional coaches and, you know, training coaches in the gym mm-hmm. for over a decade. But in 2014, when I wanted to start my own business, I'm like, okay, I need someone that's going to help guide me to making actually life choices mm-hmm. that'll help me mold and build a business, but also create the lifestyle that I dream of, right? So, and including that is obviously being strong and healthy and mm-hmm. all those kinds of things. But I've hired, I haven't really had any long-term coaches mm-hmm. Because it's very difficult sometimes to find the right coach.
Oh, do you want to unpack that later too?
Yeah, we'll go over that. But I think when I was able to afford, so I was doing a lot of free coaching, right? So, you know, buying Tony books. Robbins books and, you know, my little Kindle had all these, you know, audio books. So you hear the person talking, you're hearing the advice. So it took me some years before I could actually afford to hire a coach. So I hired a lifestyle coach. Yes. She actually she coaches actually a lot of NBA players.
Cool.
And I was with her for a while to help me. I needed someone to keep me focused on getting additional licenses for my business. So what happens is I get in the grind of working, and the work is there, but then I'm like, okay, I could do so much better if I were actually in license in multi-cities. Mm-hmm. So eventually I'd like to be licensed in the whole Southwest. So I'm licensed in two cities currently right now, mm-hmm. and we're rocking it in Arizona and Nevada. But, you know, we just picked up a project in Nashville and I'm trying to get that license going. And it's just, mm-hmm. so there's just sometimes doing the operational side is a lot easier than doing the administrative part. So coaches can help you set goals in all aspects of your life.
Yeah.
And get you there faster.
100%. Yeah. I want to unpack a few things there.
Yeah.
One thing was like, I couldn't hire coaches first. So I had virtual coaches. I had, uh-huh. I had books. Yeah. I had YouTube. So for like the audience that are, mm-hmm. that struggle to like, man, I want to be able to hire a coach. You can. They're out there. There's podcasts like this.
Yeah.
We're going to go over some stuff about interior design. We're going to go over and unpack why like Mm-hmm. Like, aside from not being able to pay some amazing coaches, why do you think like people struggle? Because I did.
I've noticed, because I tried to share my links and my books with people. Mm-hmm. In order for you to get to the mindset that you are actually even seeking free information, mm-hmm. you have to have a want first. So you need to be able, you have to be in your mind and body that I'm going to try and be a sponge. I'm going to try and listen to any free podcast, any free YouTube video of 2 or 3 minutes to get you motivation, like motivated in the morning or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Any topic, you can find it on YouTube, any topic. I mean, this day and age, I mean, there's no excuse for education. I mean, you can.
It's an information age.
Yeah, it's like, it's crazy. There's so much information, free information out there.
Yeah. So the want has to be there first.
Yes.
It's interesting because, like, for me, it's like, it took a lot of pain for me to pay attention before I was like, I think I need to hire a coach.
Yeah.
That was like my path. I was like, I just didn't understand. I felt like I knew everything.
Oh.
I was like, no, I know everything.
You're a lot younger than me.
I know. But then at the some stage.
The older you get, the more you realize you don't know anything.
Did you have any pain points or you were just like, no, I want to be
no.
better?
No. Gosh, I've been through a lot and I've been in the war zone of trying to survive in life, right? So I think that all of those things, if you don't experience any pain, then it's really hard for you to want to change anything. Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's kind of where I was. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you had these, so now you hired your first coach and then you've hired multitude of coaches. Mm-hmm. And actually in our past episodes, we talked about like what made great coaches. I want to talk about the other side because I think there's a lot of abundance in also hiring bad coaches as well. Mm-hmm. So you said you've hired a bunch of bad coaches. You don't have to name them.
No, I won't.
Yeah. Okay. Don't say it's me. It was like Royce was one of the worst ones, but, let's unpack that.
So I think one of the things that bugs me is that if I'm seeking someone to help me with my goals, and so in order for that person to help me, I have to tell them who I am and things about me. Mm-hmm. So then I feel like what happens is when I unleash what Crystal does mm-hmm. in a day and where I want to be, let's say next year, they get very excited, right? Because mm-hmm. they're like, oh my God, I'm talking to this girl who is an interior designer and now she's got a sanctuary. And, mm-hmm. you know, now she's, you know, she's in the dating scene. Mm-hmm. They get, so all of a sudden it's almost like they forget their goal to help me. And then they just want to hear about what happened during mm-hmm. the week. So it's more like I end up feeling like for an hour that I'm paying somebody, I'm just telling them what I'm doing, which gets them they living vicariously through my craziness, mm-hmm. which is not very normal, which, you know, I've had many people tell me, you know, you live a very odd life. You know, I'm a high-end luxury designer, and I could be working, and in the backseat of my car might be a turkey, you know? I have a really good client. At the time, I was working on his mother-in-law's house. Actually, I'll mention his name, Mark O'Meara. He's a golfer. You know, he won the Masters. So his wife called me. This lady does not know me. And she called me because she needed some help. It was a referral. And in the car, she's hearing all this oinking. And I had a pig. I was on my way to the vet. So she's like, what is that noise? And it was in the van. And actually, I was losing my first rescue pig that I was heartbroken. So I have to juggle a lot of times and sometimes swallow pain just so I can be at service to other people for their interior design needs. So when I tell people those stories or when they hear it, they're just like,
They stay on that and then they forget about your goal.
Yes. And it's like, okay so God forbid I say I met somebody over the weekend and then it's like, oh, so what happened with that person? You know, and I'm just like,
there's no attachment to what you're trying to get done.
Yes. So then that it doesn't last long because then I'm just like, I get frustrated.
Yeah. I love this because I think this is one of your superpowers based on kind of our interior design talks. A lot of times the coaches that I've hired, they understand the goal, but then they've never really listened.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really breaks my heart when I hire a coach. They're either fixated on the story, which is kind of what you're like they're in the weeds with you. Like, yeah. You're not supposed to be in the weeds with me, man. Right?
I need you to help me out of it.
Or they're too much onto the, like, you need to do X, Y, and Z without even listening to my life. Mm-hmm. Right? They couldn't correlate both of those two things and maneuver it towards a goal, which is unfortunately, I've had coaches like that. That's just like, hey, you need to do X, Y, and Z, but then they don't know I'm in this season of my life.
Yeah.
Right. They're like, no, you just got to make these amount of calls. You just need to do this.
Yeah.
Don't worry about everything else. Just do that. And you're like, dude, I have a kiddo.
Yeah. Right? There's like a lot of,
you know?
Yeah. I think being someone's coach is a huge responsibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to make sure that during the week they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? So you spend an hour with that person, and then, and this is what happens with me, I'm kind of, a lot of coaches probably get frustrated, and actually, you know, I'm working with you and your team.
Yeah.
And I love, absolutely love my coach Keith.
Yeah.
With Nevada Fit.
Mm-hmm.
I just adore him, and then the reason why I adore him so much is because he thinks I'm hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows that my life is crazy, but he stays focused on what the goal is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that about him, because we can have our time to talk about whatever else is going on.
Yeah.
But then we're always like, okay, so what, how do you feel? You know, mm-hmm. what did you, you know, how are you eating? How are you sleeping? You know, mm-hmm. all right, how are your hands feeling? Because, you know, obviously I had all this body pain that I went through. Mm-hmm. So they're always, he's always like, his goal is to how he can help me be better.
Yes.
And that's why we bring coaches in our life, because we want to be better.
Right. I think that's, you touched on a super topic there. He's not only listening, but he's taking on details.
Yes.
And you have this personality, and it's what I love about you, is you can go off in tangents. But what Keith does, and I've seen him do it. I've been mm-hmm. watching. I observe from afar. And he's like, all right, Krista, we got to get this set in.
Yeah, because we're laughing. Right?
Like, we got to get this set in.
Yeah.
He's like, you told me what your goals are.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we got to make sure we do this.
And
we laugh
because he's like, I need you to like grab these cables to the left, and I'm off to the right. And he's like, God, you know, but he's a forever coach.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I love that. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. Like, I hired, in the process of hiring some of the worst coaches, I've also, it gave, where I got the abundance is, mm-hmm. it's like, I know what I need to look for.
Yes.
You're like, okay, if this coach is not listening right off the bat, I'm not even going to hire him. So, so I always tell people, it's like, just hire coaches. It doesn't matter if they're good or they're bad. If they're bad, take notes of why they're bad. Mm-hmm. So the next coach you hire is even going to be better.
Yeah.
And you're going to have that deeper appreciation for it, because a lot of times people don't have nothing to contrast.
Yeah.
So
I think you always learn something from somebody
mm-hmm.
in any situation. And I don't know why I feel like I'm so aware in 2024, because I am learning. I swear to God, I'm learning something every day, something new.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm experiencing food at different levels, everything at different levels of this year. I don't know if I've been like this, and I wasn't aware, but now I just want to write everything down that I've learned new and put it in a jar. And then at the end of the year, I can read it and be like, oh my God, I remember when I learned this, or, you know, mm-hmm. what this was, you know, cause there's so much out there right now.
Let's unpack it. I think we're onto something. You're in this space of your journey where you're extremely curious, and everything you're doing, you're learning something new.
Yes.
I'm on the same boat.
It's cool.
Why do you think that's happening for you?
I think, I don't know, maybe I feel like I've been asking myself that question. Mm-hmm. I've been saying, okay, why is this year so crazy? Like, I'm so aware of things, because it's not because I'm less busy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because, I don't know what it is. I feel maybe it's just I made a decision, you know, that I had that little cancer scare, and I made a decision that I was going to go back to feeling like I'm starting over.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have a scare in your health, and then you're like, oh my God, I got like a second, like I got a break. Like, I'm going to start over again. I'm going to start everything over again. Mm-hmm. And maybe because I have that attitude that I'm starting everything over again, I'm forgetting about the past. I'm forgiving myself for the past. Every mistake that I've made in the past is done. It's over with. I'm not thinking about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So all the losses, all the everything, just, it's just put mm-hmm. it away. So I think because I'm starting so new and everything, I'm like, maybe that's why I'm aware. I don't know.
Yeah. Can we? Are we allowed to go there?
Go where?
Go
anywhere.
Yeah. So because it was tough.
Yeah.
When I heard it, I was kind of shooken up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like there is a possibility here.
Yeah.
Right. So the doctor comes up and is like, "Hey, like we don't know what's in there.
I know.
And it could be this.
I know.
And if it's this, we can only do so much."
Well, I think when a doctor tells you, you have malignant cells and we need to have surgery and then we'll figure it out after, you're like, okay, so what do I do? Like, I think doctors have to be careful. We've had this discussion before. So some mm-hmm. people say doctors are just trying to be safe and they're like, just take it out,
yeah.
have a surgery. Mm-hmm. And then you deal with it. We just saved ourselves, right? Because we just whatever it is, it's coming out good or bad. I don't know what the mindset is of the doctor, but it really messed me up because I was, yeah. you know, I have a huge responsibility. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, employees and animals and a business and clients that need me. And I'm just like, I can't die right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if I leave here and I'm out, you know, whatever. Yeah. My exit's coming soon. I don't know. But in my mind, I'm like, I'm not ready. Mm-hmm. So
there's this practice that I do with my coaches
uh-huh.
and it's called a eulogy. And the practice, and it's great. You should do it. It's a tear dropper, but you need to do it by yourself.
Okay.
Right? And what they do is they write three different types of eulogies.
Really?
And the eulogy is not from them. It's from three different types of people. So one narrative of the eulogy is your loved one or your partner. So it's like coming from the lens of my wife. And then another eulogy is coming from the lens of your kid or someone that you're mentoring. And then another eulogy is coming from either a friend, or if you don't have friends like me, it's coming from an employee. Because I think a lot of my employees are like some of my best friends because I see them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it is such a powerful thing for me because it really places the importance of what actually is important when it comes from that lens.
Yeah, because right? you're writing what somebody else would be writing.
Would say, and here's what's cool. Like they don't say, "Oh, I love Roy so much because he created this many gems, right? He did this many things. He had a nice car. He had."
They don't, that's not what
that's not about. On the eulogy.
Nope.
So the anytime I touch up on death, which is huge, and I've spoken about it in a lot of my podcasts,
mm-hmm.
I get this new burst of life. And that burst of life is curiosity. And that curiosity allows me to learn things about things that are so mundane, but I'm getting lessons just like what you have.
Yeah.
And this people will get negative news, and you can either use it to empower you or let it destroy you. And the way you handled it was so beautiful.
I don't think it was. I think it was, I don't know. I spent a lot of time alone, and I never would spend a New Year's Eve alone, and I spent it alone because I just needed to be in my head. And I mm-hmm. think that's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think being in your head is not a good thing because you tend to think things that haven't even happened.
Yes.
Yet. You create movies mm-hmm. in your head. And my movies were really depressing. They weren't like, hey, let's, you know, have a bucket list and yeah. like do all these kinds of crazy things. No, my bucket list. I mean, my mind was. So I think I'm so blessed because of so many people that love me, and I'm so blessed to have friends and people that are around me all the time. So I'm occupied, right? So I'm half the time I wasn't really thinking about it, but the downtime when I would get home at night, and once, you know, 8 o'clock happens and everybody's fed and I'm ready to go to bed, that's when I start getting crazy. And then until I put myself to sleep.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think it happens to a lot of people. I think that's, you breed depression sometimes.
Mm-hmm. It's huge.
Yeah.
It happens to entrepreneurs. It happens mm-hmm. to some of my coaches. It happens to the average person as well.
Yeah.
I think it's really important for people to understand that I think the big thing is you're not alone. That softens the blow for me a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm the only one experiencing this recession or this argument. Like, I'm not the only one. So that weakens that component. And then eventually I start to take advantage of it. I'm like, okay, if I'm not the only one, how can I compete with these guys that are experiencing the same thing? So I get an entirely different ball game. So
it's health is such a delicate thing to talk about. Mm-hmm. When I go to the gym and I talk to Brenda, for example, like one of your coaches, mm-hmm. she gave me a lot of positive information. She's like, Crystal, this is how I got in shape because I got the scare and now I'm, but then I'm thinking to myself, when I meet with Keith and, we're going to work out or we're going to do something, I kept thinking to myself, okay, so, what should we do now? What's the goal? Because it's hard when you feel like you're going to have a surgery or something.
You have to go through chemo and all of that.
Yeah, all the things go. Look, every bad thing that possibly could happen, you thought about it already.
Mm-hmm. I think you did something great. You went, you changed your environment because you're like, every time I'm alone, this is no good. Yeah. I'm just going to go. And then you met someone. Well, Brenda went through it.
Yeah, she did.
So did you get like a sense of hope that she passed
yes.
through?
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, okay. She taught me something. So that experience, to be honest with you, taught me a lot. The whole experience, and this started in November, right? So November, mm-hmm. December, January, February. I've learned so much. I've shared that information with as many people as I can. Also, people tell me about their experiences and mm-hmm. what they went through, or they know somebody that went through. So I feel like I got more connected with people mm-hmm. because typically when I'm talking to people, it's not about health. It's about design or
it's about business
or rescue or, mm-hmm. What they're doing on their travels. So really now it's like I have a whole new topic now mm-hmm. and what's in our food.
Yeah. And here's that underlining thing because I don't think Brenda watches this.
Uh-huh.
Some of the most impactful coaching is not when you're coaching at all.
Right.
It's something that you've experienced that was traumatic 20 years ago that someone is experiencing now.
Mm-hmm.
And all you can offer at that moment and is like, hey, Crystal, I was there. I get it.
Oh my God, I know.
Then, and they just hold your hand. Yeah. And that's all. That's all they need to do. And then they transfer this level of hope to you that's going to be like, you know what? It's okay. I'm going to take one more step forward.
I know. God, I just, your team is so incredible. And I think I've learned so much from them in terms of just having empathy,
mm-hmm.
You talk to people and they're like super beautiful and fit like you. And then, I'm not talking to your physical, I'm talking to your heart and your soul, and you're just such a good person. And this is why you're doing this, because you're trying to help people, mm-hmm. So I think,
thank you, by the way. I normally do. I'm just like, no, I'm all right. Yeah, I was like, you ever see someone that's like that sings karaoke the first time, and then they're just like next level.
Oh, I still get it.
Yeah, but then you're just like, dude, you're like next level, and they're like, I'm okay. I was like, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
No. You hit like falsettos and whatever you just did, like naturally. You just get mad. I was like, just say yes. It was like, thank you, man. I've been practicing on my off time.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a lot better. I just said thank you. So
yes.
For my coaches that always give me compliments and they always get frustrated that I never take it in. There's a sign. It's growing. I'm taking it in.
I'm horrible at when people give me gifts, I get like, oh, because I'm always giving. And then or people tell me they give me compliments, I get shy too.
You bounce it back, huh?
Yeah. I get shy. I'm super outgoing, but then at the same time, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I don't know how.
So you're like me. You're like, no, I didn't really do anything. Do you say thank you?
If we want to talk about my work, like we do some incredible work. And it's mm-hmm. like, every time I walk into a space that we've created, that we've designed and in our heads and we see it physically in person, it blows me away. And then there's two parts.
Yeah.
I'm humble in some ways, because I'm like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. And, I'm so grateful for the opportunity, because that's the one thing I give gratitude every morning I wake up. And I'm like, I'm so grateful. But then at the same time, I'm like, damn, that's so badass. Like, you know, it's like at the same time, then I like get into the other mindset where it's like, you know, you're a badass, you know, everything you do is magazine worthy.
Yeah.
We don't do mediocre. Mm-hmm. And it's because of where I came from, you know, where I learned what I do. I went straight from college to luxury design. Mm-hmm. I didn't have an in between.
Okay. So are you taking in compliments better?
Yes, but
you're like, that was like, that's a 50-50%. So you're like, maybe.
Well, there's the part, like I said, so mm-hmm. I struggle, like some of my team people, they say, Crystal, you're not humble. But then, mm-hmm. Then I'm like, no, yes, I am.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's just because I'm so spoiled, you know, it's like this. Can you be spoiled and humble at the same time? I think so. I don't know. I just feel like I have so much gratitude. We're so lucky to do what we do. And then at the same time, it's so deserving because we work so hard with such a high level of standard that you're only going to get that result, right? If we focus on anything in our life at that high standard, that's what you get in everything.
And guys, we'll put some links because like I don't think just saying the words of the type of work that you do will do justice. I'm going to put some links onto your website so they know what they're talking about.
Well, the problem is I don't even share it. And that...
You have an IG though. Which is it's why... Horrible. It's why you have another coach that's helping you on that on
yes,
that side
I have
of things.
The marketing coach. Okay, so here's what happens. So we don't... Our work is so custom to our clients. I don't even like to share it. And... Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I'm sharing something so personal that it's none of nobody's business, right?
Yeah.
So I've just been so anti-copy in my life. I don't want to be like anyone else but me. And I want my firm to be just like us.
Okay.
I don't want to be like anybody else. Yeah, I want to be as big as some firms in terms of volume, maybe in terms of opportunity to create at a bigger scale. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to create like that other person. I don't want to be Picasso. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to have famous paintings, but I don't want to paint like Picasso.
This is what makes you amazing. Now we're going into the interior world.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about this because I've been in a few hotels. I've been taking breaks now here and there. I'll have vacations now.
Yeah, which is great.
Which are like 1-day vacations or 2-day vacations. But there's certain rooms that give me energy. They're all nice rooms, by the way.
Uh-huh.
All nice rooms. They're clean. But then there's some rooms that give me energy and there's some rooms that don't.
Yeah.
Coach me on why that is for me. Like, why are things giving me energy and why are things that are just like, this is just another nice room, whatever.
Well, you know, obviously there's different hotels, right? So let's take the Wynn. That's my background.
Mm-hmm.
I worked on every Wynn property except for the new ones since 2009, but Bellagio was my first one.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting and listening to the design teams and Steve Wynn's inspiration for these hotels, it's really their goal is to make people feel like they're in an elegant space.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are a person that is more of a...
I'm chill.
If you're chill and relaxed, you're going to chill and relax there in luxury. But if you're a person that is more rock and roll and you need to be in a place where you can kick your feet up and, you know, have a beer and like, you know, throw your, you know, legs up on the furniture and feel comfortable, then you need to be at the Hard Rock.
Yes.
So that person that's a Hard Rock person is not going to feel energized in a room at the Wynn.
Beautiful.
The problem with people is like, every person has their own style and feel that's unique to them.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you have someone like me identify those comfort levels and your
my son's here. That's
I know
okay.
He's so cute.
Yeah.
He's adorable. So if you have to have, so I did, that's what I'm a stylist first. I was in fashion first.
Mm-hmm.
So I will identify what my client's style is, what their vibe is, what makes them who they are, then we design.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think you mentioned to me back, you remembered this Pinterest thing. It's like, I don't go on any of that stuff. Mm-hmm.
You despise it.
I do, but I have to be on my best behavior. Look, it's out there. It inspires people and it inspires people to create for themselves because not everybody can hire an interior designer and a build team to make their home what that's, that's a reward of them working super hard or having, you know, that opportunity. Not everybody has the opportunity. Yes. So I think that when I create first, I can't create for somebody unless I really know who they are. And then they will go on, because most 99% of people are on the internet looking to get ideas to be creative. Mm-hmm. So that's a resource for people that don't have the gift that I have,
yeah.
Which is I'm an artist. Mm-hmm. So I'm creative when I see things, for example, mm-hmm. you know, that you have some things on your back wall, and I'm looking mm-hmm. at all the shapes and everything, and my eyes are looking at all, because I'm, you know, I create off of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, oh my God, that little, you know, that lamp, the architecture on that lamp, those, the way the poles go, you know, that could be like a really cool headboard. Yes. You know, that's what I'm like. So I see things differently.
Okay.
So that's the reason, to answer your question, the reason why you don't feel energized in certain spaces is because they don't represent you.
I want to touch up on this, because we have a lot of correlations here.
And interrupt me if I talk too much.
No. I okay. want them to feel all of
okay.
who Crystal is. I think yeah. you're such a special person. So,
oh, thank you.
Someone will come to me and they're like, I want to lose weight.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, okay, cool. How much weight?
I've done that.
I want to lose 100 pounds. Uh-huh. You know, and it's not immediately like, okay, this is what we have to do. I'm always like, tell me about your life.
Yeah.
What do you do for a living? Like, you have kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to make sure I'm designing it in a way that it's permanent.
Yeah.
And I think that's more sustainable. And I think a lot of times we focus on what other people want, which is Pinterest.
Yeah.
And then we attach it to it. But what they really want is something that gives them energy, that gives them peace, that gives them joy. And you, like, a good coach, this is why that's why you're amazing at what you do. That's why you have multiple referrals. And by the way, if you have someone that has a running a business for 13 years and they have zero marketing, what that means is they're a badass at what they do, period. Because otherwise you wouldn't be in business for 13 years.
I know.
Okay. And what makes you amazing is because you design something that's for them and not designing something that's for somebody else that they think that's what they want.
Yeah. And I think when people go looking for a home, mm-hmm. when you're out shopping for a home or an office, mm-hmm. what is it that you look at? You're looking at all the way the house flows. Does it fit you? So you're looking at a blank canvas, and then how are you going to make it your own? So mm-hmm. there's a difference between a man looking for a home and a woman looking for a home, because most men don't really care about, they just want a roof over their head, a place where they can go to sleep, because all their energy and everything is in their business mm-hmm. or their work. But once you have a woman in your life or that significant other that's in the home, mm-hmm. spending most of their time there, that home identifies as who they are.
Right.
So that's where it gets challenging too, because, you know, some rooms in your house might energize you mm-hmm. differently than your wife.
100%. There's a room in my house that energizes me, and it's my office.
Yeah.
Everything else destroys me.
Destroys you?
Destroys me.
Oh, my Lord.
It's not complete. You uh-huh. know, there's just things that are yeah. just, they're not clean. They have to be organized.
Yes.
Like extra things. Like yeah. So for me, if I never use it, and I've never used it forever, I like to throw it away.
Yes.
And an accumulation of things is what destroys me.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy yeah. that you identify that. Most people don't. Mm-hmm. So when I was a kid, I was like 12, 13 years old, we were really poor. My mom just got divorced. We were living in Puerto Rico, and the roof and the walls didn't meet. So the bats would fly in, right?
Okay.
It was a little tiny little house too mm-hmm. in Puerto Rico. And my mom was starting over. She was going to start a business. And she always told me, and my mom had a good design sense. So my dad was an artist, and my mom was an amazing cook. Mm-hmm. She had a restaurant eventually. And then the combination of those two, that's where I get the madness that I have. But my mom, she said to me from when I was really young, a beautiful home is clean. Mm. That's where it starts.
Yes.
Your house has to be clean. I've designed homes. I've been working now for over a decade on people's homes, remodels, like beautiful, beautiful homes. Mm-hmm. Still to this day, because I still visit my clients, mm-hmm. and these homes, not only are they still like on point in terms of a timeless design and decor, they still look brand new because mm-hmm. my clients take care of their things. And they I teach them that, like, you know, don't buy, stay out of those damn stores like Home Goods and Ross and all. Yes, that vase is, look, $10 is a great deal, but yes. you'll have more money in your pocket if you don't spend those $10 on that damn thing that you don't need. You know, mm-hmm. I had one client, she was a friend of mine. Actually, she was one of my trainers, and mm-hmm. I worked at her yoga studio. And then after that, she bought an Airbnb and we redid it. And the garage was full of stuff from the freaking yard sales. I'm like, oh my if gosh. I catch you at one more yard sale, I'm going to kill you. Like, no more yard sales.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I know, but I like to refinish things. Oh my God. And I'm just like,
yeah.
If you take, and I have clients that absolutely have left their homes exactly the way I left them 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. If there's like one thing on that console, it's still the same thing.
Wow.
And still looks amazing, you know? And that's what it's like, it's rewarding for me because I'm like, they didn't need anything else. I completed a project. Mm-hmm. When a house is done and people stop buying crap and cluttering it, mm-hmm. it's because I've reached my goal. They're on to other things, you know?
I love it. And I think that's like some of the more important things. And there's a lot of correlation here. I'm thinking about trainers as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you don't need to bring 50 items inside that session.
Yeah.
You just need, this girl wants legs. This girl wants abs. Grab a barbell.
Yeah.
And grab an ab mat and let's make it happen. You know, I think a lot of times we overthink things. Like, things need to be complex for it to be beautiful. And it's not. No. And some of the best coaches delete things.
Yes.
Delete things that are unnecessary.
Absolutely.
Because every item that's in that room, in that space, is taking away from something, and you don't even know.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, oh, I love that.
Yeah. I think, so for me personally, I moved into, I bought a home in 2019. And my home looks nothing like any of the projects that I work on. Mm-hmm. I don't have much time. My team, we're all, you know, booked out everywhere. But mm-hmm. I have in my head what I need. And most people would think, well, why do you need something that big or that, like, why do you need a kitchen that has four double ovens? Mm-hmm. Well, it's because on my free time, I love to cook. And then the people that I hang out with, we all cook and bake and do things. So it's more like a hobby space. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, is identifying what your spaces need, then that's what you put into it. So invest in where you spend the most time. So your office is your space. So
that's the one I want people to take notes on. Spend the most money where you spend the most time.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful, and I'm like, it's my favorite principle.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that people need to really grasp in terms of not just interior design, but like just life in general.
Yeah. You drive a lot, get a nice car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to be spending, like I drive 200 miles a day. I had, I special ordered when I could my BMW in 2018. Mm-hmm. Beautiful galvanized gold. It was so gaudy.
Yeah.
I loved it. And I did that on purpose because I just love flashy shit. Mm-hmm. And my BMW is so flashy. And then the mm-hmm. nights happened, and then everybody was like, oh, it's gold and whatever and black. Yes. And you know, we have to get the gold car. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought when I got the ranch and I started getting horses, I'm like, I really need a truck because my BMW was getting stuck with tree branches and stuff when, you know, I would flood out in my neighborhood. And I'm like, okay, I need a truck. So I traded my car for a truck, and I hate it. It's like,
yeah.
I love it, right? Because I drove it today because the roads are bad, and mm-hmm. and I love it because I can haul things, and you know, I can pull a horse trailer, which I was really proud that I could do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, this is not Crystal. This is not, driving this truck does not make me feel elegant, sexy, nothing. So I went and bought a convertible.
I think it's so special.
I was like, I had to.
That's why I think environment is such a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think oftentimes everyone knows that you surround yourself with five people. The five people that you surround yourself with essentially becomes you, right? Yes. Or you become that five.
Yes.
But I don't think it's talked about often that the environments that you spend alone also have massive impacts in your soul. I'm just trying to sell my wife to buy another BMW, by the way. but for the most part.
Yeah.
But it's huge. The places that you're in, and I'm telling you, the places that are destroying me normally have clutter. Yes. There's normally, it's uncleanliness.
Yeah.
It's not me internally. When you see me at the gym, you know I'm in the gym because things are straight and you're like, Roy's been here.
Yeah.
And it's because I spend so much time in those areas. If I'm not changing my space to suit what my mind is, how can I expect to take care of a girl in front of me?
Yeah.
That is disastrous in, you're not disastrous, but disastrous in certain areas of their life that I'm supposed to, you're hiring me to fix.
Yeah. You have to be, so that's the thing, you have to be completely, you're fulfilled in your soul and your heart, that what your progress, right? That's what makes people happy. Mm-hmm. And this is, so let's pretend you hire me. I'm going to do your house.
Yes.
I'm going to make a bigger mess.
I have a kajillion dollars.
Yeah. Now. No, you don't have to. But let's pretend that we have a budget, $50,000. We're going to do a couple rooms in your house. And I'm going to make a huge mess in those rooms before it gets pretty. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, 90% of my clients are very, very clean, love things organized. So they start getting into that stress level. Mm-hmm. It's not done fast enough. It's not, but we do everything custom. It takes a little bit more time. But here's the trick in your mind. Your mind's going to mess with you. So your mind's going to be like, I can't stand this drywall dust every day. You know, I shouldn't have done this, or I should have just left it the way it was. Mm-hmm. Well, before you get anything good, you're going to have to experience a little pain. But progress makes you happy. Yes. At the end of the day, when you go to work and you know that your house is being worked on, you are experiencing that oxytocin of progress. If you don't have progress in your life, then you have no happiness. Mm-hmm. Progress. It's like it's a little bit of something to look forward to.
There was a ton of life lessons you just did there.
It's just progress. Right? It's huge.
You know, it is a huge relief. And I think people have this. It's relief. There's a relief when you don't have to change anything because there's no effort. You don't have to get messy first.
Yeah.
But then if you really want to pursue this dream of yours, the price is a little messy at the start.
It's always freaking messy.
And it's messier than you want.
Yeah.
But then if you just keep chugging through, because here's what's cool, because we discussed this, because I was asking, I got free consultation from an interior designer. I was like, where should I invest my money on? And you're like, where do you spend 80% of your time in that house? Yeah. And I was like, my kitchen, my office, and probably my living room. Like those are that's it. Spend time there. And here's what's crazy, Royce. You'll probably earn more money in the process by doing that, because each one of those rooms are charging you up to become the better version of you.
Yes.
And it blew my mind when you're telling me that, because I'm like, oh my gosh.
I know. So I have this vision of having my own, because I live in my studio. I basically, my entire house is a workspace. Mm-hmm. So eventually when I can build my home at the time, I already have the land for it. It's going to be, it's going to look just like probably better than my clients' homes, but it's going to be so minimalist. I'm going to have what I need, but everything is going to be collected based off of my work, my life experiences, and it's going to represent who I am. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you go into people's homes and we start, when you pick up the picture frames and you have the family, and when I walk into people's homes and I see the energy of the house flowing, and that, one of the teenage daughters, she has pictures all over the room of her friends, and her mom was a little nervous. She's like, oh my God, we just designed this beautiful room. And now she's cutting pictures and taping them to the walls, but she's living in her space. That's her space. That space represents her. It doesn't represent me. I gave her the basics. I gave her a beautiful bed, beautiful walls, beautiful, the setting, everything matches beautifully. And then now she's personalizing it the way she wants. Mm-hmm. That's her space. And I think that's what people have to respect, other people's spaces, because what what makes you, and energizes you is not what energizes me.
Right.
So I'm not a decorator. I'm a designer. So.
Wow.
And I think that's a huge confusion that people think. When I hear people say, my sister's a great designer. She decorated the room so beautiful. I'm like, well, that's two different, there's two different roles there.
Yeah.
You can decorate all day, but design is a whole different thing.
I'm going to start saying that. Listen, you're
design
not,
yeah. starts way back from how it's going to work. How are you flowing it? How it's going to operate? How it's gonna sustain?
Yeah,
that's all design. Decorating is a freaking easy part.
I'm gonna change my name. It says coach. It says gonna say designer. They're like, I'm not a trainer. I'm a designer.
I'm designing your new lifestyle. Yes,
I love it. And then I can charge boutique firm rates at that stage.
And it's like, it's funny because when I started going to your gym, mm-hmm. and I'd go to the airport and. I'm always looking at people in the airport. And then I recognize all the people that are into fitness. Because in the airport, they're wearing spandex and their sneakers and their backpacks a different style.
Yeah.
And people who are into health and fitness into their bodies do not look, at the airport especially, do not look like the people that are running with business, right?
Yes.
Or the people that are, are severely unhealthy or whatever. They just look different. And then it was funny, I was walking through the airport one day and I see these really cute people, like three people, and they're all like, you can see their physique and their spandex. Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? I need to invest in more. I want to be one of those people. Yes. I want to look like them versus, the average business person that's going on a business trip, So yeah, it's designing a lifestyle.
Yeah. And you know what's unique about that? I think oftentimes people think we dress like that just to dress like that. Now it's like, how lazy can I get? How lazy can I get? Because I don't even want to think about it. I'm just going to wear easy things that I can put in. Yeah. Do I have to wash it after I work out two times?
Yes, after one time.
Yeah. So, but if it's like, oh my gosh, I don't even have to. I'm buying that, and then they're like, "Dang, it's so designy." I know I do have to wash it.
You fitness people can be so stinky sometimes, but
it's in my SOP. It says, "Don't stink," because those are facts.
Yes.
So. Please tell me if I stink in some.
No,
of my sessions.
I will, but no, you don't.
Okay, beautiful. All right, so I want to go over some low hanging fruit because there's a decent amount of female audience here and male audience because I do love designing. I think you've inspired me in ways for sure. I want to talk about that. Like, what are some things that people can do in their homes right now that's not going to require $50,000?
So. The steps to, before you start investing, because I remember it's an investment. That's how I always call it.
Yes.
So before you start investing in a space, adding whether it's tile, paint, or whatever, you have to design that what is happening in this space first. So you have to start thinking, okay, well, in this room, I'm going to be, let's pick a space. What, your house, which one would we want to work on first?
Oh man, my kitchen.
All right, let's do the kitchen. Okay. Yes. That's my favorite space. Mm-hmm. So kitchens, you have to walk around it. Now, biggest thing is your island between your island and your counter space. Do you have 36 inches? Mm-hmm. Because luxury is about 48. Okay. A lot of kitchens are basically 36.
I have a baby kitchen.
Yeah. So if you have, so that's the thing too. Okay. So because if you're walking through the kitchen and then your wife is behind you, are you guys knocking into each other? Are you going to, so those are the things that I think about all the time is having that circulation space in your kitchen. How far is that refrigerator from where you need to be on the stove?
Yeah.
I've actually moved refrigerators in people's homes around the corner or in other locations because sometimes depending on what that refrigerator serves as, could be in the way of something else.
So functionality is what you look at first. Before you design something and change something, what is it how is it supposed to function?
How is it supposed to function? And the thing is, most, and like a lot of people just have a kitchen because they just need one there to put, you know, they make shakes and they, you know, they don't really use a kitchen. They mm-hmm. don't really care.
Right.
Those are the easy ones. Cause then you can just keep the layout the way the house was originally, mm-hmm. just put new cabinets right where it was. You don't even have to worry about changing anything because they don't care. Mm-hmm. But when you start gutting a kitchen out and you have people that have kids, you know, microwave drawers, you mm. have a little one. If you put a microwave drawer in your island, he can heat up his breakfast mm. and let you sleep longer.
Wow. Yeah.
Functional. And now he's starting to learn how to cook for himself.
Minus time. I yeah. want to make sure I can cook food, clean it. I'm out in less than an hour.
Yeah. So those things like, you know, your refrigerator. Some refrigerators have, they're really good and they can actually produce last longer in mm-hmm. it. So before you go buying anything, and I think what I see a lot of people do when I go into people's homes, they'll do things out of order. Like I have clients, they'll buy a house and they just hire somebody to paint the whole inside.
Yes.
It's not going to be a big house. You're looking at $20,000. It just, and I'm just like, in my mind, I'm always like, do you know what I could do with $20,000? You know how many animals I can spay and neuter with $20,000? Yeah. You know, yeah. like, it's like, we just wasted it on paint. Like, the most bottom of the line of anything to do in a house is freaking yeah. paint.
This is how I am with supplements. People buy like,
oh my God,
thousands of dollars of supplements. I was like, hold on. How much are you spending on supplements? I was just like $1,000 to $1,500 on supplements. It's like, what are you doing for your nutrition? What are you doing for your workouts? Let's start there first.
Yes. Right? Yes. Before you start taking all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty of spending a lot of money on supplements. And the quality. Okay. So even your hair, like my salon lady, she's like, Crystal, what shampoo are you using? I'm like, Nexxus. She's like, that's crap. The problem is, unless you're an expert in something, you yes. don't really know where to go buy things because we're all fooled by labels and mm-hmm. we're fooled by everything says, oh yeah, this is 100% vitamin C, but the quality of that vitamin C is not as good as something else. So that's why we need coaches. We need to talk to people that know what they're doing. It'll save us money and time, big time.
I love it.
So,
okay, so we got functionality.
Yep. So functionality, what is, so then after that, you figure out, okay, what's my budget that I'm comfortably spending in this space? Because you want to make intelligent decisions.
Yes.
And not, you don't want to react because you just like something. Mm-hmm. Some people will buy something that they like that will not match anything else mm-hmm. in the rest of the project. And then they regret it.
Wow.
And stay out of the damn stores. Like, yeah. I think that's the thing too. You go into, okay, what those people, all those Target is red.
Yeah.
Macy's. That is a trick to make you buy things. Mm-hmm. I was 14 years. I did visual merchandising. So I know that I did things in a pyramid technical. I know how to make people buy things because I was trained to do that.
Yeah.
So there's reasons why those people are so successful. You know, mm-hmm. I was looking at some pictures online, Facebook. I go through and I see friends that start decorating their homes and I'm looking at their pictures and I'm just like,
oh my gosh.
Okay. Yeah, because they'll go to like, you know, a random, I'm not going to mention any stores, but they'll go to a store and they'll see the, okay, like this, they'll see like a living room set up, two matching chairs, and then the table, and then the sofa. So a guy's like, I just want that. That's perfect. You know, they sit in the chair. They're like, oh yeah, this is comfortable. Yeah. I can watch TV. Mm-hmm. You know, I can kick my feet up in this. But then the woman is like, oh yeah, I can put like a vase or, you know, like with flowers there and lamps and pictures. And then they take that room that doesn't fit their space and they buy every piece of furniture
to fit in that room.
And there's no measuring. Like mm-hmm. there's so much that goes into buying something. I don't just buy something. Mm-hmm. I have clients that get frustrated. You know, why is it taking 4 weeks to buy something? Well, maybe because I just don't love it. Mm-hmm. Don't buy anything unless you love it.
Oh my gosh.
Don't. That's why every single project that I design and people walk in and they're like, wow.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a wow when you walk into one of my spaces, then you didn't listen. Because honestly, we only, and that's a collaborative thing. If I'm working for you, we do not buy something unless we absolutely love it.
I love it.
Now I could love it and you don't. So then we don't buy it because it's yours.
Two loves.
Yes.
We both love it.
If you don't love it, I won't buy it.
Okay.
And if I get to learn to read my clients, I'll show them things. And if I don't get it immediately, I love it, I won't buy it.
they get like an eye twitch. You're like, yeah,
Or sometimes they just take longer to answer because when they love something, they immediately respond. And I tell my staff, I go, if they did not answer right away, it's because they don't like it and they're trying to convince themselves to like it, which means we need to freaking reselect.
Wow.
We don't just buy things. I don't work and do this job just to freaking do it. Like, I could do that all day long, just sit there and just throw things in people's homes and whatever. And, you know, no, you have to feel it. You have to love it. If you don't love it, don't do it.
Guys, if you're not, this is a masterclass in an interior design right now. Well, so one, functionality.
Yes.
Number two, don't go to Target. I'm going to add, don't go to Pinterest. And my wife is going to hate me, by the way. She's like, because they know what they're doing. Make sure you're measuring. And then the fifth one is you have to love it. If you don't love it,
don't buy it. Okay. Oh, and the other thing too, because don't say don't go to Target. I like Target for certain things. Or
we took that out.
Yeah. Okay. And the things that I love certain, but when you know what you're going to go buy, mm-hmm. right? So you already know that there's something there that really works with what you're doing.
Okay.
Then you go and buy it because you love it. But okay, Pinterest, people get inspiration mm-hmm. by looking at other people's work. But this is the thing why I don't do it. And you would, if you hire someone mm-hmm. that is going and looking at images online that are probably a decade old. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for example, when people tell me, Crystal, now in 2024, I would love a Calcutta tile, which is white with gray veins and gray walls. And I want that crystal chandelier. There's millions of those photos online because it's been done last decade 100 million times.
Yes.
That is not design now. Calcutta is out the door.
Okay.
So when you look at marble now, that's like reds and greens and blacks, and it's like busy, 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 busy. That's this decade. That's what's happening now. Every 6 months or every 3 months, I'm in a convention where I am privy to all the cool things that are coming and that people are fabricating for the next decade for the consumer. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take time before Pinterest actually has some images of work that's completed mm-hmm. because by the time the designers and the construction guys can complete a new project, it's going to take a year.
Wow.
A year and a half. So I've done this over, like I have so many projects that in the grays and the light grays that you cannot, like insane.
Yeah.
So I pick out colors that are not entirely in that trend, but they're somewhat in the neutral version of that. So it becomes a little bit more timeless.
Wow.
It's a trick.
I love it. I'm freaking out right now. you can detect the passion in this.
I get fiery.
So much work. And here's what I tell my coaches. I was like, hey guys, they're not paying for your hour. You think they're paying for your hour. Mm-hmm. They're paying for how obsessed you are about them, how obsessed you are about colors, about it being timeless. You're thinking 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the road. Guys, if you want to hire someone that's in the boutique level, listen to what they're obsessed about.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, those are going to be the best coaches. The mediocre coaches, they're Pinterest coaches, right? They're TikTok coaches.
Oh my God, right? TikTok. Yeah, right? Everybody is like...
They're just using the same, but... If you just spend time and listen to what they're talking about, you are going to find some of the best coaches because they're obsessed and they're spending so much of their own time obsessing about you, not in the hour that you're paying them, but in the hours that they're in the shower, the hours that they're just sleeping. Having coffee, they're sleeping.
My best designs happen between 3 and 4 in the morning. I wake up. I call it the late shift. Sometimes I'll wake up at 2 in the morning and I'm designing in my mind till about 4, and then I'll go back to sleep. But that's when my best work happens. But a lot of times people will call me and, okay, so they'll say, oh, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? What do you think? And I have so much in my head from the day, right? Because I can't even answer right away. I'm like, I need things to soak. Like, I need things to, I have to, like, I need to be in, like, focused, and then I need things, I have to see how things feel and lay out. And then I'm like, oh my God, that was, why'd they do that? But then I'm like, okay, don't say anything. Just like, it's like sometimes you just have to pick your battles,
I love it.
Yeah. But I think with when I'm training with working out, for example, you know, Keith was like, we're going to do like Project G-String, you know, because I was going on vacation. And I really wanted to be in that G-String on the beach. But then I gained 15 pounds stressing out that I was sick. So now I'm back. But that was the thing too. I was like, we're starting over. Forget about the past. Those pictures and everything. Yeah. Cause remember I had those 12 weeks with you and I was like, wow, that was a huge change. But then it was like, it went to hell after I got depressed. So I'm like, okay, whatever. It's done. Let's start over.
Scratch it.
And people who have invested in their homes, I think the same thing. I paid $20,000 for that kitchen remodel. And I'm like, but it's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to just accept failure and move on.
I think you're starting from experience, not just starting over. I think starting over feels like you're going back.
Yeah, I like starting from experience. Ooh, I like that.
Because it's faster.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
right?
Here's what's crazy. Let's just say your boutique firm.
Yeah.
Like we got invaded by some country and you have to start your interior design firm all over again.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll take you 13 years?
Oh, no. No, it didn't take me 13 years back then either. Mm. But remember, because I had done 11 luxury hotels before I started my business.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I always hear my clients, especially when they relapse. This is so common. They relapse and they're like, oh, I just gained 10 pounds again. But hold on. You forgot that you lost 100 pounds.
Right?
So like you're not starting all over again. You're starting from an entirely different version, one that has all the trials and tribulations to back up what you just did.
Yeah.
You just had a season in your life. That's normal. I'm surprised you didn't gain 80 pounds in this process. I love
that. You're so good. Yeah, that's a good one. I just learned that from you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think people beat themselves up and I'm guilty of it. You know, I make a mistake. I made a mistake the other day. Actually, this is so bad. So I didn't go. I was supposed to go to this new. To my neighbor is working on a project. He's a contractor, and he's doing a big house. And he's like, Crystal, can you guys design this sauna? And I'm like, yeah. I was like, we can do a really badass one. It's gonna look so sick. I already have it in my head, right? And you can't. And I was like, I was trying to find some stuff online just to send him an idea. I was like, look, there's nothing that's in my head. This is completely unique. So I send one of my guys over there to go meet him. I had no idea that the homeowner was gonna be there. So they put me on speaker, and when I'm talking to my team, I'm so raw.
Truth.
All truth. And the homeowner was there. So it was not a good first impression.
Yes.
So typically, did I want to cry? Yes, right? But then I'm like, well, no, when she gets to know who I am, she's going to know that Crystal's always talking shit and always like joking and saying things about the other subcontractors or workers or whatever.
Yes.
And I work with a bunch of guys. So you know, we all give each other stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, and I think because I'm so involved with the builds of every one of my projects, and when the guys that I work with, they look at me like I'm a family. So it doesn't, it's different, you know, I'm not going to sit there and just be someone that I'm not. And I think a lot of people think, oh, the interior designer's coming. She's probably snooty and she's like, you know.
So sophisticated.
So, she's like, and then I had a new guy work on my team and we stay in Phoenix and we have an apartment. Everybody crashes in the apartment. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I bet you stay at the Ritz-Carlton. Yeah. And I was like, well, my clients are going to want me to pay to put me in the Ritz-Carlton every night when I come to look at the job site. But like, no, I actually get more out because we have night meetings. Mm-hmm. When I'm with my team at nighttime, when we have dinner, we're working in a very casual space where it's just, you know, we're talking about how we're creating together. We're artists.
Yeah.
You know, it's not... I'm a real person. It's not, you know, and I can, if I wanted to be snooty, oh Lord, I could be because I was with the Winds and I have all these celebrity clients and I've always, and even when I show up to my celebrity clients, they show up, I roll up, the baby's in a diaper, they're in shorts, they're in tennis shoes, and they know Crystal's here and I'm going to pick up that baby and kiss its belly. That's who Crystal is.
Yes.
I'm not going to be like, and I'm not going to be that person that's fake because you want to live in a real house.
And guys, this is what makes you a dangerous practitioner, a dangerous coach, is when you go in and see your client and they're not who you thought they would be. I think a lot of times, like, they'll meet, for instance, they'll meet me, they'll think I'm just a bro.
Yeah.
Which is a decent amount of me, right? But then there's this other side of me where it's like, I'm extremely conscious about your emotions. I'm extremely interested about your life. And then on the other side, you're this amazing interior designer. Everyone thinks you're snooty, but then you're like, you're just normal. And then the other side is you treat your guys like guys. Like, I can't treat them like a normal, they're not going to respond well.
Yeah.
You're prolific in that way. And I think people forget that's
it's an imaginary world. Listen, mm-hmm. you know, you get all these people on Facebook. Everybody wants to be somebody they're not. They want to look the certain way. You know, I feel like authenticity is priceless.
It's power.
And this is what I love about this podcast. When I see what you sitting there yesterday, when I was watching the ones, you have your baseball cap backwards. Yeah. I was like, okay, well, it's Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. Do I go and get put on a dress and get to sit here and talk to, you know, somebody that I just absolutely adore? And I'm like, I know you know me. I'm like, no, I'm going to show up. It's Saturday. I'm going to dress like it's Saturday.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm wearing my boots because it's muddy outside and I'm, you know, I have to go back and take care of my animals. And I'm like, I just want to be real. I don't want people to look at this and be like, oh, he's like interviewing this interior designer. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, I just went ahead and I have everything done.
All done up. Yes.
So then you could be like, wow, she's all put together. Yeah. No, I'm put together.
By the
together.
Way, you do look put together today.
I'm put together.
Yeah.
But I'm real.
We were talking about this because I always ask, I think I sent you the text message, hey, give me some feedback.
Uh-huh.
You know, and someone gave me some feedback. He's like, dude, I think you should wear different shirts and like different colors. And I'm like, thank you. But I'm not. Yeah. And the reason why I said thank you and I'm not, I didn't tell him I'm not. But I told my guys, I was like, it's just not me. Like, if we keep growing and I let people design who I am, mm-hmm. what's left of me? And that was the biggest thing going into this. And I knew that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, people are going to be like, you should change the lighting. You should add a coffee mug to the right side of it. I was like, dude, I want to talk to the person in front of me. I could care less that the camera is thinking about me, because at the end of the day, the audience that's listening to this, you don't care what I look like. You care about what's happening in your head.
Yes.
And you care how this conversation can impact your life.
Absolutely.
And that is essentially like, people think about all of these looks and designs and how you should be presented. But at the end of the day, no one is even thinking about what my hair looks like.
I know.
How crazy is this?
I have so many crazy stories where I worked with people that worked in the high-end luxury retail. And, mm-hmm. you know, they have to wear that black suit that Armani, they work for Armani, they wear Armani. You know, they get the discount because they can wear all that. And I love all that stuff. I love luxury at the highest level. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, do I love really good, you know, cotton sheets. Mm-hmm. You know, I can feel it. I can see it. I can identify things that are cheap. And I just, because I worked with Steve Wynn and Roger Thomas was my boss. I worked with the best of the best, the best, the best, the best. I used to be like, I used to walk, when I first started working at Bellagio, which was my first job, I was doing visual display for the jewelry store, Tesserini. I was holding Herman Miller, like all these expensive things, diamonds, all this expensive stuff. And I didn't want it because mm-hmm. every day you're around it.
Mm-hmm. I want to just, I know if you're allowed to talk, because I've studied who Steve Wynn was and how he was partially blind and he was a perfectionist. And like, how does, like, when I walk into that place and I'm like, this, you can't recreate it. It's just beautiful.
They are. And it's because there's a lot of, so there's a lot of genius behind it.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a lot of people that are, that they die and they die as legends because they're just so brilliant, right? So I saw with my own eyes in a boardroom, I was in my 30s, and we were doing the encore. Mm-hmm. And I was in charge of 11 retail design spaces. Mm-hmm. I did the first Rolex store in the world.
Mm.
So
okay.
I'm sitting in this meeting because every the Chanel was going to be there, Louis Vuitton people, everybody mm-hmm. was going to be in this meeting showing Steve Wynn the designs mm-hmm. for these spaces. So Chanel is very white and cream and black. We all know that. Mm-hmm. So he looked at the carpet and he took it in his hand.
Just the carpet.
Carpet sample. And he said, it's too yellow. So people would say that he couldn't see. No, the man can see. It was true. It did have a little yellow in there.
Yeah.
And I can see it. So when you're around those type of people and you're in these design meetings and they have such an impeccable, like, they can just identify, you know? And you don't learn that in school.
Don't. Yeah.
So that's why I always tell people, you know, my background, my history, who did I learn from? When I was doing the Cosmopolitan, that was the only hotel that I did that was not, you know, the Wynn. Mm-hmm. And they gave me the spa. I fired the designers from the spa that mm-hmm. were a London design firm. Mm-hmm. And then I did it myself. I finished mm-hmm. it myself. I didn't take a break. A year and a half, I worked my butt off, designed, hand drew all the millwork, everything, and did all of that stuff. And I kept thinking to myself, well, I learned from the best. I learned from the Wynn. Mm-hmm. That's where I got all that information from. And that's where I get all this talent from. Obviously I have a gift of creativity, but what I'm looking for, what I'm looking at is 20 years.
Yeah. I think I look at guys like that. I call them examples. Some of the best coaching you do is examples.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to have a conversation with you. They just show you what competing at the highest level is like. Yep. What competition, how hard you have to be. And I hear stories about that. All mm-hmm. the huge projects I heard just from scratch. He's like, do it all over again. And I'm like, what do you mean he'll do it all over again?
Yeah.
And I think that like rubs off on you. It's like, is it like, how do you find that balance of going just like being perfectionist and not doing anything and then still making mistakes? Okay, making mistakes, but then fixing it along the process.
That's what we do constantly. And I tell people, I tell my clients, I'm not perfect. You know, I'm mm-hmm. not. We're not. The team mm-hmm. is. We, you know, they say shit happens.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we do stuff and something might not connect right or whatever, but that's not our original intention. Our intention is to go in 110%. Mm-hmm. Always.
110%.
Yes. We work tired. We show up, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's just getting people to show up is just a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. I'm so blessed. I have like the most amazing team. I could be, honestly, and I think that's another reason why I can't sit here and say I am experienced designer and all this amazing accolades without the people that the army of people that do this with me. There's just no way. And that's why I didn't name my business Crystal Solace. If you see you know, obviously there's a lot of incredible designers out there that, yes, their name, like, you know, their name is the name, mm-hmm. but are they a solo person? Because I know that if I didn't have my guys with me and my team, half of the stuff, that's why I won't work for other contractors and other designers, because they can't build what we build. They can't do it. Mm-hmm. When I say, this is what I want to do, I want fire and water to come out of that wall mm-hmm. and we'll figure it out how to build it. And this actually really happened.
Yeah.
And the contractor was like, we can't do that. I'm like, what do you mean you can't do that?
Yeah.
You get the gas lines, you figure out what we need to put pressure. We put some water lines in there. You know, we have the right angle so the water comes down perfect.
Yeah.
We have the right angle for the fire to stick out. I'm still mad that I can't do that wall.
Wow.
It never happened.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Okay. So I want to ask this question.
Yes.
Because you handle a lot of alpha level type of people. They're the highest of the high.
Yep.
You've name dropped some of them, you know, and I was like, how are you handling these personalities? One, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I think that's such a special thing because oftentimes I would fairly be intimidated. I've had clients like that. I'd be intimidated a little bit, but then you have to like snap into it. Like, these guys are normal. These guys are normal people. How do you, I almost, you're coaching them, but you know, they're on another level.
I have a client right now. He's super smart. I always tell him too. I'm like, man, you're so much smarter than me. But at the end of the day, yes, he's an expert in what he does. And he's an expert in actually managing us too. I've learned, that's the thing. I've learned so much from my clients. Mm-hmm. But one of the most fun comments from a champion, Andre Ward. He's a freaking legend. He never lost one fight in his life. He's a beautiful person inside and out. Mm-hmm. So I'm working with him, and we hired a team to do what we designed, again, another mistake, in San Francisco, this company to build this wall that we designed that's insane with his pictures, and it has his gold medal on it.
Yeah.
And it's got multiple layers because that's what we do. Mm-hmm. And we hired a contractor so we wouldn't have to go to San Francisco and work constantly out there. And they had 5-star ratings on their website. 5-star. I interviewed them. I said, listen, this is the people that I'm like, this client is, you know, he's a champion. Like, we need to, this wall has got to go down. Like,
champion.
Yeah. It has to be amazing with no hiccups. And I said, and if there's a hiccup, you need to tell me and I'll help you resolve how we're going to solve the problem. It's a big wall. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh yes, they're super excited. They're bored. And now it's starting to fall apart.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So I'm trying to keep him out of it. They're busy. His wife is busy. They got kids. They're running around. I'm like, okay. So finally, he's like, we got to handle this, Crystal. So we go into this meeting, and I was trying to handle it the way I handle it. And then we went back to the house, driving separate cars, and his wife goes, how'd the meeting go? And he goes, well, man, I was going in with the jab, but Crystal came in with the knockout. And no, I was like, I started laughing because I think I feel like when my clients know that I got this and they just need to sit back and let me do what I do, then I gain that respect.
Yes.
So then they could be the presidents of their companies and the kings of their world, but they let me do what I do because I that's what I do. Mm-hmm. So I respect and love that they all have really great jobs because then they can hire us to do their work, right?
Right.
But I think that's I earn that respect. And I don't sugarcoat anything and I don't kiss anybody's ass. And I don't even look up what people do half the time. I try to stay off the internet. You know, if I meet you and you're like, I have a friend, which you did introduce me to somebody. Yeah. I still don't. I think, is that a bad thing that I'm not Googling people? It's just really none of my business. I just feel like, you know what? This is the relationship that I want with my clients. I want them to know me, who I am as a person. I know what they want. I provide a service.
I think that's where it gets special. And that's why you're able to attract these people, because you just treat them just like you would treat anyone.
Yeah.
You treat everyone like $1 million. Some of them $1 billion, you know? And that's like the underlining thing. I see coaches, they don't know who comes in and they treat them differently. And then they know they have a face recognition. They'll treat them differently. It's like, you'll never attract that person ever because you didn't treat Susan like $1 billion.
Yep.
And you have that in you for sure. And the other side to it, I think they're just human.
Yes. With really great careers and some amazing talent. You know, I have one of my clients that he is a mogul and he's like done, he's very successful in many businesses. I talked to him, and during COVID, I was in his house and I was like, man, I don't even want to work anymore. Cause I was getting really depressed with all the deaths and everything. Yes. And I was like, I just want to close my business. I just can't handle all the negativity. And he's like, we don't do that. he's a man of very little words.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, when he says something, people listen, right?
He's like, we don't do that.
He's like,
yeah.
You don't do that. And then I'm like, that's all it took for me to leave and go, okay, he didn't say, you know what, Crystal, maybe you should take some time off. He didn't say, you know, maybe you need to, you know, pray to God. He just said, nope, you don't do that.
I call those coaches from the field. You know, there's people that coach from the sideline. They're telling you what to do.
Yeah.
And then there's the ones that are actually in the game. And I'm like, respect. I know what you're doing.
Yeah. I learn from every one of my clients. They all teach me. And I want to be like them in many ways, you know? All of them have something, because they're so much better at business, right? I think. Or they're growing in different levels that are different speeds and stuff, and I just love it. They don't realize it, but I'm listening and I'm watching.
Here's what I think. They are listening. I think all of successful people study from other successful people.
Yeah.
And as I've noticed this, the more I do this, I'm learning from you at so many levels. Like I attached, like, why not? Those interior design principles, stole it. You know, I'm gonna absorb it, and I'm leveraging it in a way where I can use that for my trainers, for my coaches, for my clients. They're always like learning from each other.
Yeah.
I think those are the best, at least from what I've seen.
Yeah. I think the listening, I think it was when I first met Keith, I told him that I was planting seeds. Mm-hmm. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, I did. So I took a notepad, and on each page I wrote a goal, and then I put like a little patch of dirt.
Yeah.
And then every time I go and do the one thing to get towards that goal, I put a little seed in it. Yeah. And then as I start getting closer to my goal, that seed starts turning into a little flower. And he's like, Crystal, you know, that's a really good idea. I never thought about that. But no, if you're planting seeds everywhere, I'm planting a seed right now. Mm-hmm. You plant seeds, and then those, eventually something's going to come out of it. Maybe some won't, but some, there's never been anything, a seed that I haven't planted that hasn't fruition to something.
I think you do a good job on that. I'll get random text messages from you all the time.
Oh, yeah.
which are just seeds. And those are seeds of,
yeah.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I think I need to get Crystal here. Because you were like, you texted me a picture of a chicken. And I was like, Come on, gosh. She's like, hey, how are you doing today? Here's a picture of the chicken that I'm taking care of. And then, and I think those are seeds. And those are like small things that you can do. Like, I'll do that a lot of times when I'm feeling good, but I'll also do it in times where I'm hopeless. Because I know that seed at some point will pull me out when I need it the most. And I think some of the most successful people, some of the most successful coaches, some of the most successful entrepreneurs will plant seeds when they're in a happy mood, when they're in a bad mood, when they're in a stressful mood, because they know they're not the only ones that exist in the world.
Yes.
And you do that. You do such a great job at that, by the way.
Aw, and I think what I do a horrible job at is sometimes, and I think, I know I'm not the only person, but I regret like not staying in touch with certain people. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, a good example, Mrs. Nguyen. Her and I were really, really close. I was on HGTV in 2006 and 2007. And then she came to see me 10 years ago. But I get so busy. And I'm like, well, I'm thinking in my mind, she doesn't want to hear from me. You know, she's got so many people constantly contacting her. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe she does, you know. And I was calling somebody yesterday and I was asking about somebody. And like, why don't you give him a call, Crystal? And in my mind, I'm like, well, he's probably one of the busiest people on the planet. I'm not going to call him. Mm-hmm. And then I decided, you know what? Let me call him. And he's like, what's up, Chris? How you doing? And I'm like, hey, what's up? And I was like, you know, how's the animals doing? I'm like, great. You know, everybody's doing good. I'm going to come see you. You're going to the game. Now the game, you know, obviously this game is very expensive to go to. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So we're talking about, you know, when can I see you again? So I think sometimes I get wrapped up in my head that my clients are way too busy to ever want to see me again after a project. And I think that's probably not the case.
It's often not true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think at the highest level, they always want to help you out.
Yeah.
That's so crazy to me.
So I know I'm horrible at asking for anything.
Yes. Okay. So let's wrap this up because my son's making a ruckus, but that's okay.
He's so cute.
This is the price you pay being an entrepreneur and having kids as well. So, but I love him and I don't want to disturb him because it looks like he's having fun. But I want to talk about what makes an amazing coach.
Well, a coach, a leader, whatever you want to call it. I think for me, what I find is for people to be personalized,
designers,
authentic, and be a confidant.
Mm. What's a confidant?
I think like you, I need to trust you. Like, so that's the thing. Like I was telling Keith very personal things.
Yeah.
And I know that I can trust him, mm-hmm. especially what I was going through when I got, you know, that scare. Mm-hmm. So with my health, I was like, do I not tell him or do I, because I don't want everybody to know. I don't want people to feel sorry. I don't know what this is going to happen, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think when I hire a coach, I think I'm seeking that they're going to, that I can trust them with my personal business because I need them to lead me. I need a coach that I can trust. I think that's like one of the biggest things. And that's the same thing with my business. If you read articles that have been written about me, it says that I want to gain my clients' trust first before anything.
I love it.
I don't even want any money. Just trust me. Trust me that I'm going to do a great job for you.
That is so powerful. That's refreshing.
And then once you have that relationship, then it's a continuous relationship that turns into a trust forever. Forever, you need a health coach.
Yeah.
Forever, you need somebody to help you with your home. Your home's always going to need something.
I love that. I think that's the foundation of everything.
Yeah.
Is trust.
Trust is everything in every relationship, your friendship, your relationship with people, with, you know, your dog. Like, you know, I'm going to go pick up a dog and I don't trust him already because I hear he bites. And I'm going to go foster this dog for the week. And I'm like, oh, I got to train him. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. So where can they find you? Because I know you're like hidden. You're like camouflaged everywhere, which is something you're trying to work. But this is a good step. Now people can be like, okay, I know who Crystal is now.
Yeah.
Where can they find you? I'll attach it on the show notes and everything.
Well, they can, you know, find me through Nevada Fit. You know, my name is Crystal Solis, and I'm sure if you...
We have a website?
I have a website. It's freddyramone.com. It's not a good website. I'm going to eventually, when I grow up, it's going to get better. But
you have IG?
It's horrible. Instagram. And the reason why my Instagram and those things are not great, it's because I just, we're like, when we're designing stuff, it's so personal. And I also, I don't know. Andre was like, Crystal, why aren't you blasting that wall on Instagram?
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's got your picture when you were 10, your wife and your, like, it's so personal.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I also don't like to be that, look what I did.
Right.
I'm as good as my last project.
Oh, that's so good.
You could sit there and brag all day long what you did, but you're as good as your last project.
So I'll just be your agent. And then they're going to be like, hey, you know, you had a girl, Crystal. It's like, can I just contact her through you? And be like,
yes.
Yeah, contact her agent.
Yes. You know, my number is 702-468-3232. Everybody. My it's like, yeah, when it's on there on rescue pages, you know.
Okay. I'll put that down there.
Yeah. And I think I like to know, like, I like when people contact me because they know somebody or they, you know, they heard, you know, hey, I heard that you did so-and-so's place. Or if they're like, oh, yeah, I saw the podcast that you did and I want to meet you. And I'm like, sure.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you are trying to become successful like this lady that's in front of me, you should be hiring a bunch of coaches. And don't be afraid to hire a mistake, because a lot of times those mistakes will highlight someone that's amazing, that's right in front of you. And if you're doing that, you're not only going to grow in your own business, I think you're going to grow in so many areas of your life, your health, your time back. We talked about that. And on the other side, when you're designing homes, design it for functionality. Don't go to Target.
Don't say that. You're
gonna get canceled.
No.
Get canceled.
Hey, what if Target's gonna sponsor you one day?
I know,
Like, you gotta go get the. No. You just buy what you love. That's the biggest thing. Buy what you love. Buy what you love, and don't try not to jump the gun. Like, don't. Yeah, because I think that's what the backwards thing messes you up.
I'm just kidding. I buy a lot of stuff from Target, by the way. So.
But what are you buying? What do you need it for?
Just my underwear.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I buy barely
anything. Make sure it's 100% cotton.
I don't know. I never look. I'm just
like,
you
have to look. That affects your sweating.
I do functionality.
Yeah, but remember. Okay, so this is... I'm going to drop one on you.
Yeah.
Fashion over function.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because you want it to be a wow.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
You want to look cool. You want to feel good.
Okay, perfect.
If you put on a nice pair of 100% cotton underwear on,
it does.
It feels makes it, so much better than polyester, especially when you're sweating. And it's like, if you invest in quality.
Oftentimes the fashion is also functional. I've noticed.
Yes. Well, especially nowadays, like especially within the workout world, like people swear by Lululemon. Oh my God. You know, they have to have it.
Yeah.
I'm stuck with Calvin Klein. It fits me good. It's like a easy pick.
Okay.
You know, but people swear by a lot of things because they find something that works for them.
I love it.
And then you only need like two of those compared to like 100 of something that's crappy.
I love it. Put that one on the list. Okay. So guys.
Passion over function.
Yes. If you guys like this episode, make sure to subscribe. I'll see you guys soon. Peace.